Microsoft Flight Simulator 10. We meet the guys who created this virtual world. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Among all the job cuts being announced these days, one of the more startling to aviation buffs, at least, was the closing of Aces Studios, the team responsible for the continuing development of Microsoft Flight Simulator. In reporting the story a few days ago, I mentioned that there were users of the game who were collaborating with each other online to set up virtual airlines. A listener called me out on that, accused me of exaggeration. And I recalled that we had this vintage piece of audio in the archives. I'm going to play it for you today. Not to prove my point, but because it's apparent some listeners who aren't into gaming have no idea how this amazing piece of software has grown over the years. So here today is Jim Campbell's 2006 interview with Brett Schneff, Hal Bryan, and Mike Singer of Microsoft's Flight Simulator 10 design team to tell us about their vision for turning your computer into the aircraft and airport of your dreams.
You know, one of the themes for this version is dynamic living world. You're going to see, you know, animals, you're going to see vehicles of all types, sizes, and shapes within this dynamic living world. Where do we get some of these? Well, the animals we get from one of our other products called Zoo Tycoon. We were able to leverage those assets within our product. We have cars and trucks going on roads below you. Where did we get those roads? Well, we do a product called Streets and Trips. So we take advantage of that technology. As we move forward, we're going to be taking advantage of other Microsoft technologies. I'm going to hand it over to Hal here to talk about some of the in-game aspects that are really driving this new version and how we got to this point.
The Flight Simulator X builds on 25 years of our history, of our legacy, finding ways to recreate the experience of flight on a personal computer. You know, in the old days, we began with a two-color display, black and white, or black and green, or black and amber, depending on what kind of monitor you had, and just a few sticks that represented the world and a few airports to fly out of. And now, 25 years later, we use millions and millions of colors and build the entire planet, every airport, every nav aid in the world. Once we have this world built, we also have weather in the atmosphere on top of it. We have air traffic control. Things happening in the world. Brett mentioned the dynamic living world, so the world sort of comes to life beneath you. And of course, and perhaps most importantly, aircraft. Roughly 21 airplanes out of the box that you can fly, and then that, as we may talk about in a minute, is just sort of the tip of the iceberg in terms of a community out there of both hobbyists and commercial enterprises that build additional aircraft. So in effect, you can fly anywhere in the world in just about any kind of aircraft you can imagine in any weather conditions with realistic air traffic control, IFR, VFR, anything you want to do. In addition to those areas, we've introduced the concept of missions, and we've also re-architected our multiplayer, our connected online experience. I'll ask Mike to talk about those two things.
The world that Hal was talking about, or that experience, is one in which you pick an airplane, pick an airport, and start flying. We have found over the years that a lot of new users, especially people who aren't pilots, have a little trouble with that because they don't know what to do. They find themselves in a Cessna 172 at the end of a runway somewhere, and they have no idea where to go or what to do. You know, it goes beyond the skills. Those of us who are pilots think that's kind of funny because, you know, we dream about picking the kinds of planes that we have in Flight Sim, and we can think of all sorts of ways to use them. But we wanted to give people a little jump start. So we created missions that structure the experience for people. They range from tutorials that teach you how to fly an ultralight, some other planes, up to a jet and a helicopter. There's missions that are very game-like, almost arcadey in nature, but still realistic. But in terms of the gameplay, you're doing things like flying through hoops, flying on race courses, trying to land on moving objects, drop sacks of flour on things, stuff like that, up through missions where you're a private pilot doing sort of fantasy flights that you do as a private pilot all over the world, to missions where you're a commercial pilot. You might be flying a helicopter in a rescue mission. You might be a bush pilot flying climbers to base camp on Denali in Alaska. In another mission, you might be an airline pilot shuttling workers from Las Vegas to Area 51. We had a lot of fun creating these. There's a lot of humor in some of them, but behind behind it all is this still this message that Flight Sim is known for, which is realism. We fully expect that the third-party community will create hundreds, if not thousands, of more missions for either purchase or for free via the internet. Multiplayer is another feature that we worked on a lot this version. We completely revamped our whole multiplayer system, and we're referring to the whole thing now as shared skies, conceptually. And the idea is that you can now share your Flight Sim experience with other people. We made it much easier to get into the experience than ever before in terms of the interface and to connect with and find other people online to do this with. Whether they're people you know or just people who sound like they're doing something interesting and you want to join them. We've also made the experience itself a lot more realistic. Now, more things in the world, virtually everything, synchronizes between the users. So if I'm flying somewhere and you're flying in the same place, we're both going to see the same things in the environment at the same time. If you turn your landing light on, I'll see your landing light come on. But we're not limited anymore to being in two separate aircraft. One of the new multiplayer features is called shared aircraft, and the idea is that you can share your aircraft with somebody else. The benefits of this include flying with a friend, flight instruction, where you can have one user teach another user how to fly. One person can be inside the plane, one person can be outside the plane, crew flying. So now, especially with some of these add-ons that are out there for airliners, you can now fly as a crew where one person is being the first officer, the other person's being the captain. They're both doing the duties that each person would actually be doing in the real world. You're doing that in multiplayer, in real time, flying with other people. And lastly, in multiplayer, we've added a feature called the tower controller, where instead of being a pilot flying an airplane in a multiplayer session, you can now take on the role of an air traffic controller. You find yourself in a tower cab at any airport of your choice. You can communicate with all the pilots via radio. I should point out that all the communications in multiplayer is via your voice. You can get a headset, plug it into your computer, and everyone can talk to each other just like you would in the real world over the radio. The tower feature also includes a radar screen and various other tools that a real controller would have. So the whole idea is we've created a sky and a world in Flight Sim now where you can share your experience with other people.
We'll be back for more with Jim Campbell and the guys who designed Microsoft Flight Simulator 10 in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Jim Campbell is talking to the guys who created Microsoft Flight Simulator 10 about the virtual world they created and what the user community has done with it.
I saw virtual airlines, people who had work schedules and routes and dispatchers and a whole infrastructure devoted to a virtual airline. Talk about this community that you've built.
Well, first of all, the first thing I have to say is that the community really built itself. And as much as we'd love to, we really can't take any credit for that other than building a product that was open-ended and hopefully compelling and interesting over the years, and either providing the tools or providing maybe some support for some tools so that people could build their own experiences on top of it. You mentioned the add-on world, and that is something that is a huge eye-opener. When you buy the product and you take it home and you find two dozen airplanes, or about 21 airplanes in this version, then you start looking around on the internet and in retail stores, and you start finding those hundreds of thousands of other aircraft. And just about anything and everything you've ever thought of wanting to fly or wishing you could fly, even fantastic vehicles that haven't yet existed or never will, you can find it out there, and you can bring it into the Flight Sim world, and you can try it out for yourself. Some of them free, some of them commercial enterprises. And beyond that, as you said, Jim, we have an amazing and diverse community that finds all different ways to use the product. You mentioned virtual airlines, and that's a fascinating sort of subgenre to me. These are people that either create an entirely fictitious airline, or they pattern themselves after a real-world airline, and they match those real-world schedules sort of minute for minute and assign the routes, and they fly these routes in real time and report them. And I've seen virtual airlines that offer virtual stock options to their employees. I've seen them publish menus, and there are even those out there that encourage the participation of virtual passengers. So you've got someone who's actually flying the airplane and somebody else who just has a view out the window and just rides along. I love these people for the time that they have to spend on using our product in these different ways. But that was never something we set out to create or to encourage or to facilitate. The thing we can be proudest of is that we've effectively stayed out of their way.
You have to understand that Flight Simulator, the product, the game in a box, the content that we provide is just the beginning of it. And some people just stick with that. But the hobby, which includes all these add-ons and virtual airlines and stuff, extends to the furthest reaches of bizarre, niche-y realism. I must admit that I actually am a virtual air traffic controller with VATSIM, which is the Virtual Air Traffic Simulation Network, which a lot of these virtual airlines participate in. And the goal there is to provide air traffic control services via multiplayer for people who are flying. So my joke recently that I'm telling everyone is that I've rationalized my participation in this by the fact that the blips and the voices that I hear when I'm doing this are real, and if people want to pretend they're flying airplanes, that's their problem. That my family and friends don't see the humor in that. But anyway, on a more serious note, one aspect of these add-ons that I do find very interesting and very useful for people who either have an interest in real aviation or are real pilots that you may not have thought of is, all the time we read in magazines and on the web about certain airplanes and places, airports that you'd like to go to. Well, in Flight Simulator, you can go to any of these places that you read about. And with the add-on community, you can probably find any airplane that you read about. I'll give you a quick example. A couple of years ago, I read an article about the Piper Meridian, and I thought, now here's an airplane that I would like to own if I had $1 million. Actually, probably more than $1 million if I wanted to operate it too. Usually you read an article like that, you fantasize a bit, and that's where it stops unless you happen to meet somebody who owns that airplane and is willing to give you a ride, which for most of us is pretty unlikely. With Flight Simulator, I realized, hey, there's an add-on of the Piper Meridian that this company made, and it's supposed to be one of the best add-ons out there. So I went and I bought it. And about an hour after reading this article, there I was in my living room flying the Piper Meridian. And I was doing exactly what the reviewer in the article did, flying out of the same airport, trying the same maneuvers that he tried.
One of the things I had noted during our attendance at the AVSIM conference, across a number of machines, varying capabilities, was that the information presented on a visual basis was about as photorealistic as I've seen within this particular spectrum of software. If you can, talk about how you created not only the software that produced such photorealistic imagery, but the imagery behind it.
Most games, the way that the visual world is created that you move through, is artists hand create everything. So they have a lot of control over what you see. In Flight Simulator, we model the whole world. So short of hiring thousands of artists to do that, we had to come up with a different way. So we combine art with data. We start with 1.5 terabytes of data, which are collected from all different sources.
U.S. Geological Survey, space shuttle mapping missions, Jepson for nav data.
So we take all this different data and we combine it, and then programmatically and dynamically, as the simulation is running, we apply art to the data. So for instance, as you're flying over the world and you fly over a golf course, the data says, hey, you're flying over a golf course. It applies golf course textures to that area where the data says it should be. So we have a team of artists that create textures for the entire world for different kinds of areas. So they create golf course textures, they create city textures, they create farmland texture, and it's all regionalized based on where in the world you are, so it's accurate, and night and day in all four seasons. And then as the simulation runs, there's code that puts everything where it's supposed to be. So it looks like somebody sat there and painted the entire world, but they actually painted pieces that we then combine at runtime. Your house probably isn't in Flight Simulator, but the town you live in is there, and all the visual elements of the town, from railroad tracks to where water is to where the neighborhoods are versus the forest, all that is pretty accurate. So I'll hand it over to Hal now, who will talk a little bit about how we create the realism of the aircraft.
Building an aircraft in Flight Simulator can be broken down in a few different components. First of all, and sort of most obvious perhaps, is the actual model of the aircraft itself, the physical appearance. So the key word there is research, photographs. Sometimes we can work directly with manufacturers, get engineering drawings, 3D drawings, that sort of thing. And our artists who work in 3D will actually build the model of that aircraft in 3D parlance, that's built out of triangles or polygons. And sometimes you might have 60,000 individual pieces making up a single aircraft. And they work on the shape and the structure, and also the animations of how the gear retracts and the sequence of the gear doors, control surfaces, control surface deflection, things like that. Another artist will then be responsible for actually taking that model and effectively painting it, applying a livery or what we would call a texture. In addition to that, we also have artists who build a 2D representation, two-dimensional representation of the instrument panel and all of the gauges and displays as relevant, and also a 3D rendered version of the entire cockpit environment where you can look around and see controls moving, see the gauges moving, tune radios, twist knobs, change your OBS, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of this in the 3D environment. So the artists are responsible for getting that done visually. And again, that's based on photographs, videotapes, our personal experiences, things like this. Then we have programmers who are responsible for sort of wiring it all up, making sure that the airspeed indicator responds to airspeed in the simulation, making sure that an attitude indicator, if it's vacuum driven, is actually driven off of a simulated vacuum pump. And if that vacuum pump fails, then the attitude indicator will fail and fall off realistically, that sort of thing, as part of our core simulation engine. In addition to that, we have another developer who is responsible for modeling how the airplane flies. And that's, of course, for us, for the pilots on the team, that's usually the most fun part of the research. So we frequently get to go out and fly some pretty interesting, pretty fun airplanes that otherwise we might not have access to. Wrapping it all up is we have a team of test engineers. Sometimes that's my background, it's where I came from before this position. So I like to think of myself sort of a professional complainer, in the sense that no matter what somebody has created, it's not good enough, it's not right enough yet. So we have our own experiences, our own research, and our own expertise that then is brought to bear to say, you know, did we get this right? Does this airplane really fly this way? Does it look this way? Does it behave this way? Do these systems work this way? So it's a pretty broad team effort.
It's not clear what the future holds for the game or the people who created it, but Microsoft assures us flying games will remain a part of its future. Let's hope they're this good. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.